It's good to see you. As always, there's no place I'd rather be than here. Absolutely not. I don't like being away in the church from my people, and I love it. But let's dive straight in. Well, let me give honor to my pastor, my father, my mother. They are wonderful. They're amazing. I'm glad they can get away. They need it. They're enjoying themselves, getting some really nice sunshine down south. We don't know if we're promised sunshine or snow. But I'm happy for them. I'm thankful for their leadership, their guidance, and how they've trained me up in the ways of the Lord. I give them all the credit and God. He blessed me with a wonderful family. But let's dive straight in to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and then I'll also read verse 12. And from the NLT, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Verse 12, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Can we all pray together for a few moments over this message that God wants us to hear? Lord, thank you so much for this facility, for the congregation. Lord, I pray your hand is over each and every single person in this place. I pray our ears, our hearts, and our minds are tuned to your voice. May we see through your lens. I pray, God, that a divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is imparted into each and every person in this place. And I pray, God, that your perfect will above all else would be done. Not our will be done, but your will be done. I pray against the adversary, and I pray that anything he is trying to do is undone. I pray there is a shift in the spirit tonight, God, strictly and solely done by your abilities and your power alone, God. And then the wonderful, amazing, mighty, life-giving name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. For just a few moments, I want to speak to you about a sleeping giant. And I'm going to start off by talking about World War II, specifically about America. When World War I ended, America would soon find themselves in years to come in the worst depression the country would ever see. We know it as the Great Depression. Well, little did they know that years after that, they would face another world war, but they wouldn't want to be as involved as they would have been in World War I. They would refrain from joining when it first began, when the conflict first began to arise, and the British were reaching out to them consistently and constantly, and it wouldn't be until Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Japanese, that they would finally decide to make an intervention. Now, at that state, they are probably at the lowest time in their lives. And in the lowest, they produce 3.9 million cars. That's far more than what Japan, Italy, and Germany produce. They produce together less than 700,000. And so we still, in the lowest time of this country, we're able to do more. Now, the Japanese attacked not because of what America was, because we were not at our full potential at that time. I guess if you want to say it like that, we weren't, not at all. But they were afraid of what we could become. I don't remember how exactly he said it, but in this 6 months, if I am unsuccessful, then I'm not winning. That was by Isoroku Yamamoto. He was one of the high-ranking officers in Japan at that time. And he also gave this famous quote that we don't 100% know if he said, but well, let me find it for you. He said, "I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with terrible resolve." It was Hitler in 1923 that he said he had called America an American colossus. Unfortunately, it was the enemy that probably saw more potential in America than America did in their own selves. And it took conflict, it took war, it took lives being lost and our homeland being attacked for us to really see ourselves into war, into what we could really do and contribute. And so it was in the First World War, the American government wanted 50,000 AA guns. They had contracted that to different companies, factories, whatever. And by the end, they had only produced 139 AA guns. And it would be in World War II that from 1939, when our spending on the military, I believe, was about 1.9 or 2.2%, it would skyrocket in 1942 to 44.2% of our economy was going towards war and things like that. We were shifting towards a wartime economy. And I, with confirmation from my dad, I called him shortly before I was going to come up here. And he had said he had the same exact things on his mind. And I had a smile on my face because I was like, I'm in the spirit. That's cool. That's good. I'm in the vein I need to be in. Our church at this time, we're in a wartime economy. We are in war right now with the adversary, the devil. And it had hit me like a rock when I was doing this. God had imparted some revelation into me. We can't try and live lives of peace. We can't try and live lives where we think everything is going good, where we pretend that life is amazing when it's not. And there is war that is ravaging our nation. No, not physical war, but spiritual war. The devil is about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so I'm sure that it was in that time that the United States government had really discovered how important unity was. Like the USA, we're a collective. We are a bunch of individuals, different parts making up a whole. We are not on our own. We are not to be selfish, but to have a selfless ambition. We are to rely on our brothers and our sisters to our left and to our right. If they're struggling, so will you. You will feel it. You might not know where it's coming from, but you will feel it. And so, America was a sleeping giant, and they were awoken only by conflict and war. It was not during peace. As a matter of fact, all the production that they did would have only been approved by Congress, not during peacetime. God does not necessarily equip us as we would want him to during peacetime. No. Why would he equip us then? It's during wartime that God says, okay, now I will equip you. Everything is done in God's timing. I've never understood that more than in this season of my life than as I've gotten older. Timing is everything. As a matter of fact, he gave me this title about a year and a half ago. It wasn't for me to speak then, but for me to speak now. The government, I don't remember any specifics, but they wanted 50,000 more AA guns. Roosevelt, he had recited his Christmas list to Congress after Pearl Harbor. At the end of the war, we would have produced thousands more AA guns than what we needed. 1,000 more tanks. Thousands of more airplanes. Why? Because we understood there's a war and we have a part to play. And we very well may have turned the tides of that war. It may very well have been the United States government that would have been the reason Germany is not occupying 2/3 of Europe today. And Hitler's mission was not completed. Let me speak for a few moments on a terrible resolve that we were filled with. Terrible it was. Lives were lost. I'm not saying that was a good thing. It's horrible. It is not God's will that people die. It is not God's will that he sees people die and especially not go to heaven. Let me echo again that it was not where America was, but what America could become at that time. Let's have a little, oh my Lord, reflection of our life now. Because I know for sure that some people through this place are going through some tough seasons, that we're suffering. I feel like I am. Feels like that day every day. I'm not lying to you. But it's all in God's plan. It's God's will. We need to understand that in this fight, we get exhausted, we get weary, we're only human. We need vacations. Our pastor needs vacations. We can't go all the time without a break. But we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We can only do this with him. If he is not number one in our lives, then money will be. That's what the Bible says. You either serve God or you serve mammon. And I've actually realized something. There's a little scale to that. There is a little gray area. You see, you can pursue materialistic items or you can pursue God. But we understand there's a lukewarmness. I've realized people that are sold out to God hate money. I don't want anything to do with money. I'm not saying I'm sold out and I'm better than everyone else, but I do. I hate money. All I want to do, the only thing I want to do is God stuff, is church stuff. That's all I want, but I can't.
It's not realistic. I understand that I need to make money. I blame Adam. He cursed me with having to work. I blame him. But you know what? I accept it, and I understand that I have to provide. And I will have a family one day, and I have to provide for them. I can't complain all the time about working. Yes, it's hard. It's annoying. I don't want to wake up. Sometimes I wake up and forget if I have to work or not. Sometimes I don't even know what day it is. Work makes me tired. I don't know about the rest of you. I think I ranted for a second. Forgive me. I want to echo the words of David Wilkerson. He wasn't a Pentecostal UPCI preacher, but he did have that video about him where he preached a message about anguish. And he said, we have to admit to ourselves that we want it easy, and we just want all the things in life. We want all the blessings, but we don't want the work. We don't. I don't. Are you kidding me? If God could give me a McLaren right now and I didn't have to work for it, I'd be happy. I would far prefer that than have to work for it. But that's not realistic. Work is for us to do. Let me turn our attention to Romans 4, chapter 4. And it reads in the New Living Translation, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. The money you make from your job is not a blessing from God. I have another verse to tie into that to further confirm that. Well, when I give this next verse, why? Well, you're tired, you suffer, you don't want to. It's pretty much that simple. Who wants to work? Nobody. If our body, if we wanted to, we'd sit down at home, be lazy, and do what we want to do. I would. I don't know about you. That's what our body wants. We just want to sit and do nothing. We'd rather sit and relax than work. We would. But in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. How do you know something comes from God? How do you know a blessing, a sign, or a wonder comes from God? There's no sorrow in it. God's blessings are not filled with sorrow. That's how you know your job, well, your job's a blessing, but the money you make is not. It's simply because what your employer should pay you. It's work. You're trading work to make a living. It's a living wage so you can live because we need food. I need extra. To work isn't a blessing, it's a curse. Now, the ability and obviously the health that we have to work is a blessing from God. I thank the Lord all five of my senses work. My eyes, not so much. But I thank God that I can see what I'm doing, that I can work to make that wage. That is from God. But I found it interesting that sometimes we pray for a better job. We do. I have. I don't know about you all. And what I've realized is, as I was typing these notes down, we're not praying for a better job. We're praying for a better curse. That's what you're doing. It's a curse from God, is it not? Wasn't that Adam's curse? That we were to work in the fields? You're praying for a better curse. God, I want my curse to be more fruitful. It sounds silly when you say it like that, doesn't it? I thought it did. I'm like, I sound silly now. I understand I don't know everything. It is. We might have prayed for a better curse. Think about that for a second. That is not God's will. It is not. It was not God's will that we were to work. He had the Garden of Eden. He set it all up, and Adam squandered it. I got to get serious now. I apologize. But we need to understand that we have to work. And in this season, I have not heard more people in my life than now say, it's a season. You don't say that if everything's going good. You don't want it to be a season when everything's going good. I don't. I want it to last forever. But I understand that there is a reason for the season. I understand that God will work in ways that are higher than ours. I told Sister Crystal earlier today, I had the privilege to speak with her. That word higher means exalted. We are to exalt his ways that he operates in our life. I've also learned that his ways are higher and we don't understand them because he has a supernatural intent behind it. God works supernaturally, executing it in natural ways. What do I mean? If you pray for peace, God will not give it to you like that. He can. But what he's going to do is he's going to give you siblings. I'm just kidding. But yes. But he's going to give you the opportunity to be patient. That's exactly what he's going to do. He is not going to give it to you just like that. He will. He might. I'm not to speak for God. But in my experience, it was that he placed, it's funny, but he's placed people in front of me. He's placed situations in front of me. He's trying to tell me, you need to work. He's trying to tell me, I'm coming back for a generation that is spotless, without blemish or wrinkle. God is not coming back for a church full of saints who want it easy. Well, we may want it. It may be a desire, but not everything is from the Lord. He's coming back for a church who understands, I'm going to give everything I can. I'm going to get exhausted. I'm going to have sleepless nights. I am going to fight the devil. I am going to rebuke him, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, and only through the Holy Spirit that was given to us by God, with him delivering his one and only begotten Son to die on the cross, I will rebuke him. I have power and authority over him, and I will exercise that every day of my life. I have realized that the hardest battle we will ever fight is our mind. Can I get an amen? Oh, I can't say that. I don't know if I can. I don't want to operate with too much liberty. I'm under a covering. And that's serious to me. I don't want to operate as if I'm just some person who can say whatever I can. But if you would agree with me, I have found that out in my life. I have. The devil has given me thoughts every day. I have had thoughts in church. I have had thoughts in work. And I'm like, what are you thinking? What on earth is going through your head, Colin? Because it's out of the blue. I will be working. I will be focused, hyper-focused. And the devil's like, who? I don't even know where it came from. But he's throwing stuff at a wall and hoping it sticks. Because let's be honest, sometimes we've dwelled on those thoughts. And like Brother Ken Dillingham said, we will think. 10 minutes down the road, you're thinking about something for a circumstance that might happen. That never really happened, that you don't know if it will happen, but you're thinking of how to fix that, of what you're going to do if that circumstance does happen. I think we understand what was just delivered. I think we understand that. That's happened to me. I have thought about things in my life that have never even happened, and I've thought about remedies for them and all that. I'm like, what am I doing? This didn't even happen. And then I'll backtrack and I'll reel myself in, because I have to be a good soldier in Christ. I have to gird up my loins and put the whole armor of God on. The helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. We need that shield to withstand those fiery darts from the devil. And let me tell you, we have a barrage of them coming our way this year. I think it's a fact. He understands what we're doing. Why is he like that? Why are we all in these seasons? Well, there's two reasons, actually. It's the devil and it's God. Well, how do you understand which is which? Well, Jesus said we are to share in his suffering. What's that? Romans 8:17, I believe. Do you have that one, Chris? It's the other Romans one I have. Romans 8:17, I was right. I might not have given that to him because I didn't underline it. Oh, well. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. We have a promise. But if we are to share his glory, so there's a stipulation. We must also share in his suffering. God prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will may be done. If this cup may pass, he didn't want to die. Who would? He was whipped. He was spit on. I looked this up. So he carried it. I don't remember how long it was. Let's just say 3 miles, because it was miles. He carried the horizontal part of the cross. He didn't carry the post. And it was about 90 pounds. Oh, that's not a lot of weight. I can bench that. Well, when you carry that for miles, that's a lot of weight. He fell to his knees climbing up the hill, and someone else needed to help him. That's a suffering. That's suffering. That's hard. That doesn't feel good. It does not. And then he was carrying his curse. Well, not his curse. What would you say? He was carrying his death sentence. But funny enough, that was his promise. He was carrying his cross. The cross being physical and literal. We all have a cross to bear. We all have jobs to work. That's a cross to bear. I don't want to bear that cross. I'm sure we don't. because it's a heavy weight, it's a burden. And then on top of that, there's people at work that you want to win, that you want to get into church, that you want to share the love of God with them, but then they just reject it and they squander it. It's hard. It's a cross to bear. So then he goes up on the hill. He gets a crown of thorns dug into his skull. He gets whipped. He gets speared. People casting lots over his clothes. He's probably watching them bet over his clothes. And then dies. That was his suffering. And we are to share in that same suffering. I'm not saying we're all going to die on a cross. But I am saying we're probably going to face some persecution. And we're going to face some fiery darts from the devil. And we have to be ready. We have to be serious. David Wilkerson said, it's getting late and it's getting serious. It is. Now, there's a second side of this coin. It sounds miserable, I know. But again, we must admit to ourselves that we've wanted it easy. And there's this quote I came across. I love it. It is my favorite quote of all times. I found it in a quote or a book. Goodness gracious, help me. God harden me against myself. The coward with pathetic voice who craves for ease and rest and joy. Myself, arch traitor to myself. My hollowest friend, my deadliest foe. My clog, whatever road I go. You are your own worst enemy. You are. And the devil will use that. He will put thoughts in your mind. He will make you think things. And he will twist your thinking. That is what the devil does. He can't get at us physically, not after you're baptized and have the Holy Spirit. He can't touch you. He can't. But what he's going to do, and he's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to do that. But let it be known that he can only lie. And so when I've had those thoughts, I've had to tell myself, he can only lie. And so I allow God, with the Holy Spirit, to turn that for his good. That means it's never going to happen. I thought about coming up here earlier today and my legs weren't working. Like when I was praying right there, I'm like, why? Why am I thinking this? Well, I'm sure the devil doesn't want God's work to be done, but also I have to be hyper-focused on this message to give what God wants me to give. But what did I say? I said, that's not going to happen. Why am I thinking that? That's silly. That's what you have to do. That's what fighting with the devil looks like, really. But it's the fight none of us want to do. Why? Because video games are one of the most prevalent things in our time. We focus on cars, we focus on looks. I do. Things of the sort. We try and distract ourselves. That's what we do. It's funny that video games, we want them to get more and more realistic, but yet it's this completely fake thing because we're trying to escape reality. It's because we don't want to think about what's really going on. But the more realistic you make, you start to think of this whole other thing. You start to fantasize of a whole other life you could live. Fantasizing is a problem. It is. I have fantasized. Yes, I have. I am not afraid to admit I am human. But I've had to tell myself, that's not true. As Pastor spoke to us before, why are there people wanting to be Spider-Man? Why are there people wanting to be Superman? Who doesn't want to be invincible? Who doesn't want to be able to fly across the earth? Who doesn't want that? That's an easy life. It's easy when you can be shot, when arrows can be shot at you and it just bounces off. That's easy, but that's not the generation God is trying to build up. That is not what God is trying to do to us in this season. I'm not saying that he wants us to be hurt or he wants us to be harmed, but there is a cup of suffering we have to partake of because we have a wonderful promise waiting on the other side. Did you know that God and his kingdom has its own wartime economy, and that's what we're in right now? Specifically a wartime economy. It's sacrificial giving. That's what it is. No part of me, my flesh, wants to give in that billing program. As I've said before, I've drained myself financially to give. I have. But my spirit is more excited about what God is going to do. My spirit is more excited about what God can do with my money rather than what I would do. I would blow it on something silly. I would. I'm not going to lie to myself. And so I understand that it's better that I give into that than I would something else. But it's with this that God has given me promises. I have never found his voice so clear. I have never found my ears so tuned to his voice than when I am in the middle of battle, than when I am in the middle of suffering. First Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I've often thought about what they really mean by a lion. Well, what do lions do? They travel in packs. They're afraid to be on their own. They're scared. They will only go for the weakest. They will only go for the sick. They will only go for the old. Now, I'm not saying that in our church. He will go. Let me tie this into what I'm going to say next. But that's what the devil's looking for. He's looking for the weakest. Well, what does that look like? I have realized that victimization, I'm trying to tread very carefully now, is a problem. Now, I'm not saying there are things that happen, and that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying spiritually. And it ties in with fantasizing. I have bet that most of us in this place have fantasized about being a victim. I have. And I'm like, what am I doing? What do I mean? Let me give you a circumstance. Something bad or tragic happened to me spiritually. God having pity on me because I'm sharing his cup of suffering, and so God is going to help me. Or whatever the case might be. And so we have to fight against that victimization because that's what God wants, or that's what the devil wants. Because if he can get us to do that, well, then isolation's the next step, and then we'll isolate ourselves. What are the two ingredients for you to die spiritually? Those two things right there. Those are the two ingredients. You'll begin to isolate yourself. You'll begin to say, I don't want to talk to people after church. I don't want to have to do anything with the body. I don't need link groups. It's just fellowship. I don't need that. Well, you might not need that, but someone else needs you there. And I can promise you that you do. So what the devil does is he makes you weak. He makes you think you're weak. When in actuality, every person in this place, we have the potential to win all of America. That is a fact with God's will. Will that happen? I have no idea. But the potential in this place is scary. Why do you think the devil's attacking us? Because there's potential. We have a building that's getting ready to be erected to seat 150, 175 more than what this sanctuary sits. What are we telling the devil? We're doing something in Ashtabula County. What are you going to do about it? I have said that to the devil. Oh, I have trash talked him because he's made me mad. If I am honest with you, I am sick and tired of what he's doing in this world. I am sick and tired of seeing people promise to go to hell instead of heaven. It's pretty evident when people are. I'm sick and tired of my promise being lost because I've just wanted it easy. Jesus' promise was to die. That was his promise. That was God's will for his life. But not ours. We are heirs. We are a peculiar people. We are royalty. We ought to act like royalty. As I've said before, he's not coming back for a weak church. I'm sorry, but it's going to get hard and it might get harder. But you know what that's going to do? It's going to drive you to that altar more. I have never found myself wanting to be in my prayer closet, wanting to be in the Bible more than when I have suffered. Sometimes God has to get our attention through means that we don't want him to. But let me tell you something. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Wait and see what God's going to do on the other side. Those of us who are willing to give of our finances for this building fund, you wait and see what God will do in your career. You wait and see what God will do in your finances. I fully believe we'll be blessed like that. I do. What that blessing's going to look like, I am not going to say what God is going to do. Now, we must understand. If we're going to be excited for that, we better be excited for suffering. What did James say? I love James. All he talks about is suffering. All he talks about is endurance. We're going to lose the race if we don't have endurance. You're not going to get to the finishing line. Pastor said it in 2020 going to 2021. I remember. I was standing right there. Oh, I remember that prayer meeting as clear as day when he said there's going to be people here that won't be there tomorrow. We lost some folks during boot camp. Boot camp can be tough. Not everyone makes it. At least I'd imagine. Brother Richard, did everyone make it through boot camp? No. No, boot camp's tough. You know what's tougher? Fighting on the front lines. Would I be accurate? It's tough. It's hard. But God is building up a generation who's going to be able to withstand that. Listen, God is not going to prevent the devil from attacking us, but what he's going to do is make us stronger to withstand it next time. That's what working out is. You break down your muscles. You break them. That's what being sore is, because you have muscle fibers that are split, so they build back stronger because your body's like, whoa, we fought a hard battle. We've lifted some heavy weights. I got to get ready for next time. And you know what happens physically if you don't work out, if you don't get in the fight? Your body begins to neglect those muscles. He's like, we're not using them. Why do we need them? Well, if we're not using this muscle, why do we need it? And so slowly and slowly and slowly, you recognize yourself not being able to lift up the same weights, not being able to. What do we call it? A burden. What's a burden feel like? A weight on our shoulders? God will give us burdens. He will. He will give us burdens for people. That's what Pastor spoke about a few months, I don't know, however long ago. The watchtower, or the guard on the watchtower. God laid someone on my heart. It's a burden. I don't want to see them go to hell. That's hard. That's a weight on me. I am off my notes so hard. I am probably so erratic right now, but I'm going the way the Spirit leads me and directs me. And I am fully confident in this. God has had this on my heart for weeks. And so I know that this is a message from God. I'm not a prophet. I'm not to tell what God can do or what he can't, but I know what I feel. And I know when the Holy Ghost is leading me and directing me. And I just want to let it be known, we're going to suffer. It might get harder. We might lose some more folks. I hope we don't. But when we come out, oh, we are going to be warriors that are going to make the devil scream like a little girl and run the opposite direction. That's what I want. I'm sick and tired of him. I am. Let me be honest for a second. I am fed up with what the devil's doing. I am fed up when he tries to give me a false report in my mind. I am, because I am royalty. I am God's child. I'm not going to act like I don't have a promise. I'm not going to act like God hasn't given me dreams. I know God's given me dreams of what will happen in my future. He gave me a dream that I would work at FlexJet. I'm working at FlexJet. He gave me a dream that I would marry that wonderful woman. I have a wedding coming up. She might back out. I don't know. But it's time for me to get serious. I called Bishop Ellis. I love that man so much. I am so thankful for covering, because I am ignorant and I am young and I am dumb and I'm not afraid to admit it. And the lone sheep is the one that God goes after, because we can't do it on our own and we need covering. We need a shepherd. And sometimes God will give us some others. Now, it's not for us to look for that, but God will put them in our lives if we ask for them. And I believe he gave me Bishop Ellis. And so I gave him a phone call. And in the phone call, I spoke this to my Sunday school class. Right, Alina? The difference between the chosen and the called is what? You know? Perseverance. Preparation. Consistency. The hard things that we all do. We all perform in our day-to-day lives. It's hard to wake up the next day. But I commend you for waking up and coming to church, if it's any consolation. I commend you for going about the next day, because some of you have suffered severely. Because you've suffered and you know you might suffer tomorrow and you don't want to. That is what attracts God. What attracts God is preparation. I showed up here at 3:45 to prepare for this message, and I huddled away in my dad's office. He allows me to use it. And I'm thankful for that, because I understand that this is no joke. The word of God is no joke. What the devil and what God are trying to do is no joke. It scares me when a man who went to hell, and we have an idea of what he said, he begged for his family to be notified of how horrible it was, and he wanted to leave. I don't want that. I want to go to heaven. And what drives me even more is that there's treasure I'm going to store up in heaven. So I have a choice of how much treasure I'm going to store up there. I can go up there with 10 pounds, or I can go up there living like a king. And let me be honest with you. I'm going to go through that wilderness like David did. He was the lowest. You see, you might feel like you're unequipped. You are. You might feel like you're unworthy. You are. You might feel like you're the lowest. You are. But so did Gideon. We talk about Samson slaying thousands. Gideon did too. He was one of 30. Of the upper echelon in David's army to be chosen for fighting. God is looking for people who will say, God, I want to try and walk worthy. I forgot that scripture. Let's find it. Oh, I don't remember where it is. Forgive me. I don't remember where it is, but multiple passages, Colossians 1 and 10, Philippians 1 and 27, Ephesians 4 and 1. I do have that. Where's that at? Ephesians 4 and 1. Musicians, you can get ready. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Many are called, few are chosen. What separates them? Preparation. I have never been so convicted to be prepared. I have tried to spend every waking moment of every break at work to read a book, to read the Bible, to pray. Sometimes, this is the last thing I'll say, if you would stand with me. Sometimes I will fall asleep at 5 a.m. Sometimes I'll fall asleep at 11:30 p.m. I don't have a sleep schedule. It's non-existent. It went gone when I started working thirds. And so that's made it hard for me to find some structure in my life to read and pray. It has. I don't just wake up every morning and read and pray. I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I pray and read for a minute a day. Sometimes I read one verse. I don't mean this to brag. Please understand my spirit. But I'm used to this pulpit. Why? Because I will try and fit and I will try and cram every ounce of prayer and reading I can in my day. If that means it's not 30 or 45 minutes, Brenda encouraged me on that. You might not always get to pray 30 or 45 minutes, Colin. I am so thankful for a helpmate. Thank you. I have to understand that. But I, a warrior of Christ, girding up my loins, understand I better cram that in whenever I can. So I pray while I'm falling asleep at the wheel in my car. And I used to get so frustrated at myself, but I came to realize I'm tired. I'm human. Stop, Colin. And so I will be tired and I'll be like, okay, I gotta wake up. I gotta get to praying again. I will pray. I'll get tired. I'll close my eyes. All of a sudden, I'm two exits down. But then I get awake. Blast the music in my car, roll the windows down, and I get praying. Listen, you got to cram it in wherever you can in your day. Don't beat yourself up because you forget to pray. We all do. We're human. You're not going to pray every day. No, you're not. You're not perfect. I'm not either. But it's the ones who say, I forgot to pray yesterday. Oh, I'm praying today. Oh, I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to study. I'm going to get in that word. I'm going to prepare however I can. PI is a wonderful way to prepare. I'm going to do a little plug in there. Unfortunately, I can't do it. My schedule doesn't permit it. But you know what? I'm going to fill it in any other way I can, and I'm not going to give excuses. Can we close our eyes for a few moments for this altar call? Just close them. I want you to think about this cup of suffering you've shared or you're sharing right now, or you think you might share. Dwell on that for a moment. Just dwell on it. I know some of us who are sharing in a cup of suffering, and I know it isn't fun. Now I want you to think about where God is going to take you. Be hopeful for a second. I want you to think about what God's going to do with that pledge you gave. Be hopeful. That's okay. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for but not seen. You can't see it. That is faith. Have some hope right now about what God's going to do for your pledge. Have some hope right now about what God's going to do for your family. Now, altar call. If you are willing to share in the cup of suffering, if you are willing to go through that wilderness like David did, only if you're willing. Dwell on that for a second, you're going to suffer. I'm just letting you know now. Yes, you are. But I want you to know, God's going to awaken you. Come to this front. Come to this altar if you are willing. Forgive me if I've talked fast. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I got to shake it out. I'm not lying to you. Sometimes I get goosebumps all over my body when I know God's speaking to me. God's looking for some warriors right now. He's looking for some sleeping giants to be awakened. America was probably the most horrifying force in World War II. I would have lost it if I saw them flying through the trenches, through no man's land, just so they could conquer some territory. Oh, the devil is scared of you, Justine. The devil is scared of you, Brenna. He's scared of you, TJ. He's scared of you, Kristen. He is horrified of you, Brad. He's scared of you. You want to know why he's scared of all of you? Because of what you can become, not because of what you are. I'm being so serious. I know it's funny, but I'm telling you, you have the devil wetting himself right now, if I can put it in some goofy terms. You have him running scared. Why do you think he's throwing all the fiery darts he can at us? And let me tell you something. The next time he does it, you're going to be ready. Let's go in prayer and let's roar at war. War in prayer for a few moments. I know you're going to get tired. I know you're hungry. I am too. I'm exhausted. I want food, but I want those promises more than I want the devil to win. I want to see God's will done in my life. I want to see God up in heaven with all of his children of God. I want to see you up in heaven. I don't want to see you backslide. I want to see you go up to heaven and with that wonderful treasure that you store up. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Give yourself a few moments to God. A few moments, and you wait and see what he will do when you have prepared, when you have warred, when you have suffered. Pray in the Spirit right now and don't allow weariness to take this prayer time away from you.